Our message this morning comes from the book of James, chapter 1, beginning at verse 22. Hear the word of the Lord. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and, after looking at himself, goes away immediately and forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious, yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues, deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after the orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the word, the world, Amen. The word of the Lord. Amen. Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts bring honor and glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I want to tell you a story, and it's a story I'm not proud of. In fact, it's a story I'm ashamed of, but it's a true story. I'm a native Washingtonian. I am very proud of the fact that I was born in our nation's capital. It's my favorite city. I never tire of the beauty of its rich history. And as cities go, D.C. is a small city. It's only 68.3 square miles. Unfortunately, like most cities, it has a homeless population that tends to hover in the parks and near the well-known tourist attractions and around the national monuments. Those who travel in and out of the city quickly learn how to ignore the homeless. Over time, they become invisible. Their presence and their plight no longer tug at your heart. After a while, you learn to avoid eye contact, and you turn a deaf ear to their cries for help. Several years ago, I was in D.C. I was on G Street, which, if you don't know, the city is in the shadow of the executive office building where the vice president's office is. And I had just finished visiting a friend and decided to stop by a Subway for a quick sandwich. It was a lovely spring day. And there he was, standing right at the door of the Subway. No way to avoid him. Homeless, dirty, smelly, unshaven. And he asked me, "Could you buy me a sandwich?" In our scripture passage today, we are reminded, anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at their face in a mirror and, after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. Well, I can really relate to that, because if you're anything like me, I don't like looking at the mirror, in the mirror. When I look at myself in the mirror, I see gray hair. I see a wrinkled face. But when I'm not looking in the mirror, I imagine myself as I was in my 20s. I'm young again. I have brown hair. There are no crow's feet. Mirrors are important. They help us detect spinach in the teeth or if our t-shirt is on backwards. And from time to time, we need to take a look in the mirror. The first words in the Gospel of John remind us that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus Christ is the Word of life. Our Lord is the mirror we are to gaze upon. We look at Jesus through prayer, through Bible study, as we worship, and as we spend time in fellowship with our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Jesus is our model for all things. Our Lord is an example of how we are to act, how we are to live, and how we are to speak. We are to reflect Christ's likeness in our topsy-turvy world. Are there people in your life that help you to see Jesus? I just finished reading a book by Bishop Michael Curry. He's the bishop of the Episcopal Church, and the title of his book is Love is the Way. In his book, Bishop Curry tells the story of a time when he was pastoring an Episcopal church in Baltimore, Maryland. A young man who belonged to a street gang started attending his church. The members of the church welcomed this gang member, treated him with kindness, and loved him. And over time, their love transformed him, and as a result, he made the decision to leave his gang. Now, that was a very difficult decision for this young man to make, because it meant his life was threatened. It also meant the lives of his family would be threatened. But he did it. And as a result, he has become a powerful witness to others who were caught up in the cycle of gang violence. Because the members of an Episcopal church in Baltimore reflected Christ's love to a young man in trouble, his life was changed. Jesus Christ is the living Word, and we are to reflect his likeness in the world. We're to be doers of the Word and not just hearers. It's not just enough to listen to God's Word. God's Word calls us to respond. Several weeks ago, I was officiating at my aunt's graveside service in Maryland. And after the service, my cousins were hosting a reception at a local country club. Well, I didn't know how to get from the cemetery to the country club, so you know what we all do when we talk to our phone and say, "Help! Siri, tell me where to go." And Siri did. But while on the way, my phone did something it had never done before. Siri warned me about photo cameras in the area. Warning! Red light photo camera ahead. Warning! Speed photo camera ahead. I was grateful for the warnings because I wasn't used to photo cameras. Well, the Word of God is like Siri. But instead of a verbal warning, it's a written word designed to help us know where the trouble spots of life are lurking. Mm-hmm. Had I failed to listen to Siri and follow the directions that Siri gave me, I would not have found my way to the country club. Also, I may not have paid attention to the traffic light and the speed limit. God's Word enables us to live in a way that reflects Christ and His love in our world. Listening is only helpful if we put what we hear into action. Amen. Fellow believers can be mirrors for us. About a couple years ago, I was coming out of my podiatrist's office. And that day, my doctor really made me mad. I started ranting and raving. Can you believe him? Did you hear what he said? He said the exact opposite last week. I can't trust a word that comes out of that doctor's mouth. My housemate listened to my rant and then ever so gently said to me, "Well, Valerie, you know, sometimes you do the exact same thing." I was shocked. "What do you mean? I'm not like that." Then she gave me an example of how I say one thing one minute and the opposite thing the next minute. After I calmed down, I realized she was speaking the truth in love. Mm-hmm. I was like my doctor, and she helped me to become aware of my fault. And as a result, I was able to correct my behavior, although sometimes I slip. Jesus cautions us to have a tight rein on our tongues. Christians are called to speak the truth in love to one another. Mm-hmm. However, speaking the truth in love should always come from a place of love and never, ever come from a place of anger, jealousy, or revenge. When we have prayerfully examined our hearts and we're sure that our correction is coming from a place out of genuine concern for our fellow believer, then and only then should we voice our concern while following the guidelines found in Matthew 18. The words we speak make a difference. Our words can lift a person up, or they can do great harm to their spirit. Our tongues can curse, or they can bless. Words are important, but actions are equally important, especially our actions when we encounter the least and the most vulnerable members of our society. James says it this way in verse 27. "Religion that the Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after the orphans and the widows in their distress." So as Paul Harvey would say, here's the rest of the story. In the middle of Washington, D.C., a few blocks from the White House, standing outside a Subway sandwich shop, a homeless man asked me to buy him a sandwich. I'm ashamed to admit it, but I didn't want to buy him a sandwich. What I wanted to do was run away and not be bothered. But reluctantly, I said, "Yes, tell me what you want." He made his request. I went in and placed the order. My good for deed for the day, I told myself. I also realized that I am well fed and can certainly afford to do this. And after placing his sandwich order, I got this rush of generosity and threw in a bottle of water. I came out of the shop, handed him his offering, feeling good about myself, but still wanting to run away. But he was having no part of that. He took me by the hand and looked me in the eye. He forced me to see him. And as he held my hand, this is what he said to me. I'll never forget it. "Thank you for the sandwich. God has been so good to me. I didn't freeze this winter." Christians are called to reflect Christ in the world. But on that spring day in the middle of our nation's capital, I was anything but Christ-like. Instead, a stranger, a homeless man, showed me the face of Christ. Mm-hmm. Mother Teresa once said, seeking the face of God in everything, everyone, all the time, and his hand in every happening. This is what it means to be a contemplative in the heart of the world. seeing and adoring the presence of Jesus, especially in the lowly appearance of bread and in the distressing disguise of the poor. End of quote. James ends our scripture reading for today in verse 27 with these words: keep oneself from being polluted by the world. There is far too much pollution in our world, both literally and figuratively. And we guard our hearts from being polluted by continuing to look in the mirror of Christ's redeeming love through prayer, through Bible study, through worship, and by fellowshipping with our sisters and brothers in Christ. We make the world a better place when we reflect God's love in our actions and in our speech. So today I want to ask you to do something. The next time you take a look in the mirror, ask yourself this question: when others look at me, whom do they see? Let us pray. Living Word, we are ever mindful that our hearts and minds can deceive us into thinking we are living in a way that is pleasing to you. Help us to look into the mirror of Christ's redeeming love and see what you would have us see. For it is in the name of Jesus we offer this prayer. Amen.